Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll continue to have your meal, I would like to very briefly introduce Judge Creighton, and his special guest with him today is Captain Caddo Sheriff's Office Captain Kenny Sanders. He's the director of the Regional Training Academy, responsible for training the new incoming deputies, firearms specialists. He's training 8,000 people a year. He covers 10 parishes. There's so much more, and he may want to tell you about what he does when he gets up here as well. Also, I'd like to introduce Judge Scott Creighton. He's been a visitor of ours many times, a friend of our association. He is serving his 23rd year as judge with the 1st Judicial District Court. Having served on both the civil and criminal divisions, Judge Creighton has presided over hundreds of jury trials as well as over 1,000 hearings and bench trials. He has several committee memberships. He received his Bachelor of Science in 1976 from LSU. Prior to his election to the bench in 1990, he served as Assistant District Attorney for Caddo Parish for a decade and maintained a civil practice. Scott and his wife, Susie, have two sons, both of whom are in law school. I'd like to introduce Judge Creighton.
Thank you. It is an absolute honor to serve on the Caddo District Court. This is my 23rd year, and I have to tell you, I've enjoyed it immensely. It has been a lot of hard work, but the 23 years have gone by in a flash, and it's just been a tremendous honor to serve the public and serve on the district court. I do want to mention Darrell Tuberville, of course, was originally scheduled for today. He is ill and is rescheduled, as Debbie Martin indicated. Please keep Darrell in your thoughts and prayers. He's such a fine guy, tremendous guy. And I do want to thank Debbie Martin and Bruce Roberts and the North Shreveport Business Association for doing this. This is a great opportunity for fellowship, collegiality, and a chance to get some information. And that's why we are here. Captain Kenny Sanders to my right with the Caddo Parish Sheriff's Office Regional Training Academy and I are here. And we'll talk about a few things over the course of the next 50 or so minutes. We understand your time is precious. Everybody has to get back to work. We have to get back to work as well. And so therefore, we will start on time. We're starting on time. We will stop on time. And again, we're glad to be here. We will be covering, just to kind of give you a preview, we'll be covering the Second Amendment, and we have titled this Bullet Points on the Second Amendment. I thought of that myself. This weekend it just came to me, and you know, every now and then I had to write it down, because at my age, if I don't write it down when I think of it, the thought may be gone. But in any event, bullet points on the Second Amendment, that's why we're here. We'll be talking about, in general, guns, permits, and protection. We'll cover specifically the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution. We'll cover the Louisiana Constitution. I'll cover a couple of Supreme Court cases. I will not distress you with too much law. You know, we'll try to keep this kind of a bottom line type of informational speech. We'll talk about concealed handgun permits, and actually Kenny Sanders will cover most of that because he teaches that at our Regional Training Academy. He'll talk about the 6 common misconceptions regarding concealed handgun permits. You do have a handout, one card that has that listed. We'll talk about each and every one of those. We will talk about how far can you go in defending your home against intruders, burglars. We will talk about how far can you go with regard to defending your property. And at the very end of the hour, we'll have a final test. We'll have a big test, 25 questions, and it'll be true, false, and it'll be fun. But let's go ahead and get started, and we're going to start with... Just had to do that. I'm sorry. You know, remember, I'm old enough to remember Chester in the original series, and then there was Festus, and then, you know, the gang. But I just had to do that. But I'm not through yet. right, there we go. And we're off to a good start here. Let's talk about the Second Amendment. That's where it all begins. And the law says this, and this is the United States Constitution, and you can follow along. This is in the handout. It says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That is our United States Constitution, Second Amendment. Let's talk about a couple of cases very briefly. This came along in 2008. The United States Supreme Court held the Second Amendment confers an individual right to keep and bear arms. Remember, the Second Amendment talks about militia. It says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So there was some debate, apparently, with respect to the interpretation of the Second Amendment, and thank God the United States Supreme Court got it right. And so they held that the Second Amendment confers an individual right to keep and bear arms, and statutes, that is, state laws or city ordinances, banning handguns possession in the home violates the Second Amendment. That is a very, very important ruling of the United States Supreme Court in 2008. But here is what concerns me. This was a 5-4 ruling. You should all focus on that. Now, we know the United States Supreme Court is made up of 9 justices, and Scalia, Thomas, Roberts, Kennedy, and Alito on the conservative end. And then, of course, they ruled in the majority of that. The dissenters were Justices Breyer and Stevens, and the new Justice Sotomayor has taken Justice Stevens' place. Stevens retired. Souter retired. Kagan has taken his place, and Justice Ginsburg. Sotomayor and Kagan were both President Barack Obama appointees. Now, let's move to the Louisiana Constitution, and this is also very, very important. And it says this, the right of each citizen to keep and bear arms is fundamental and shall not be infringed. There's that word again, shall not be infringed. Any restriction on this right shall be subject to strict scrutiny. So Louisiana, this state, has placed into the Louisiana Constitution a heightened level of scrutiny with respect to gun possession and gun ownership, and that's in Article 1, Section 11. And this was voted on by the people because this gun debate is a very important debate, and it's a very important conversation going on. The bottom line is that states cannot infringe on the United States Constitution, but states can be more expansive with respect to individual rights. For example, the individual right to bear arms. And then there was a case, McDonald versus City of Chicago. The United States Supreme Court held that the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms is fully applicable to the states. This also was a 5-4 ruling, with Scalia, Thomas, Roberts, Kennedy, and Alito, the conservative wing on one side, and the dissenting justices Breyer, Ginsburg, Sotomayor, and Stevens on the other side. And this had to do with the city of Chicago having an ordinance that infringed upon the right to bear and keep arms. All right. Now we are moving on to the permits section of this talk. And I'm going to call on Captain Sanders with respect to the statewide permits for concealed guns and applications.
You've got a little handout that looks like this laying somewhere around where you're eating. If you'd pull that rascal up where you can follow along with me. Since I run the academy, frequently we get questions down there at the academy because we're supposed to be the legal experts. Sometimes we have to turn it over to Judge Creighton. But I've written down the 6 most common questions that we get related to possession of handguns, especially for people like yourself that have made a wise decision that maybe they want to start carrying one concealed. I'm going to take those one at a time, and it'll answer most of your permit questions. So follow along with me for a minute. Number 1, the most misconception that we get asked down at the academy. Look at number one, I must register my conventional handgun. When I say conventional, I'm talking about a gun like you could go buy at Bass Pro Shops, Lowrance, or any other regular firearms dealer. I'm not talking about a gun that you could pull the trigger one time and it would fire multiple rounds. It's a gun that if you pull the trigger one time, it's only going to fire one round. You like you got one of those in your house. If you're a lady, you like you have one in your husband's gun vault somewhere. So it's just a conventional handgun, long gun. The question again was, that's a misconception. I have to register my conventional handgun. I get asked that several times a week where people think there's a registration requirement in the state of Louisiana. Never has been, and let's hope there never will be. As long as you're a lawful handgun owner, there's no requirement that you register a handgun. And for some people, people think there is, and there's not. Let's hope we never go to that. Look at the second broad misconception. It's legal for me to carry a handgun in my car. Frequently, people listen to other states' laws, and if you've learned anything yet from what the judge is saying, understand this much, Louisiana gets to set its own laws, and our laws don't have to mirror the laws of other states. And so far in Louisiana, you can carry a handgun in your car the same way you'd carry a handgun inside your home. The way Louisiana words it, your car is an extension of your home for handgun purposes, and you can do anything inside your car with a handgun that you could do inside your home with a handgun. Now, that frequently needs a little bit of clarification, so let me spend about 30 seconds on it. When I get home this evening, my wife won't have supper made, so I can't take my gun and poke it at her and say, Molly, get in there and cook supper. That would be extremely illegal. So even that would be illegal inside my home. It would certainly be illegal inside my car. So listen again at how I'm saying that. You can do anything inside your car with a gun that you could do inside your home with a gun related purely to a gun. I get that question a lot. I guess it's because people are wanting to start carry a gun inside their car, maybe out of fear, maybe just because of listening to too much what's going on in the news. Look at the third one. If I carry a handgun in my car, the gun must be hidden and unloaded. Louisiana, again, gets to set its own laws, and there's no requirement as to how you carry the gun inside your car. You don't have to hide it. You don't have to unload it. You don't have to take it into pieces. In Louisiana, you can carry the gun absolutely any way you want to inside the car. It can be concealed, not concealed. If it stays inside your car, you can do whatever you want to inside your car. If that confuses you, let's go back to inside your home, because remember, the car is an extension of your home. Could you keep a gun hidden inside your bedside table inside your home? Absolutely. Then could you do the exact same thing inside your car? Sure. Because in Louisiana, the car is an extension of your home. Could you walk around inside your home with a gun around a string around your neck? Absolutely. It's your home. Could you do the same thing inside your car? Absolutely. Should you tell the nice police officer that you got a gun around your neck when he pulls you over for speeding to get the catfish here? Absolutely. Does the law require that? No. But it'll make you live a lot longer if you tell the guy that you got a gun inside the car. I'm down to your number four. Keep up with me. I got to move fast. I must have a concealed handgun permit to carry a handgun inside my car. If you've learned anything so far, you can do anything inside the car that you can do inside the home. And I get a lot of questions at the academy at least once a day that goes like this. Captain, I'm thinking about traveling to New Orleans. Bad mistake already, right? But they want to go to New Orleans and they want to carry a gun. That's a wise decision. So they say, I want to carry a gun inside my car to New Orleans. Would it be legal to put a gun inside the car to travel to New Orleans? Not only would it be legal to carry the gun inside your car, it would be extremely wise to carry a gun to New Orleans. But is there a permit required to carry a gun inside your car? No more so than there is a permit required to carry a gun inside your home. I guess it's because concealed handgun permits are becoming so popular, people don't understand how much you can do inside your car and you can do so much inside your home with no permit requirement whatsoever. It goes back to that Second Amendment thing. You can get away with a lot of things with a gun as long as you're a legal gun carrier inside your house, inside your car, with no permit requirement whatsoever. So let's discuss the permit for just a second, because that's where the judge was going. We offer two permits in Louisiana. One can be issued by the sheriff, and it's good only for inside the parish. We offer another permit that's good anywhere in the state of Louisiana, and it has reciprocity. That means it travels over to all the other states. It has reciprocity practically anywhere you would want to go, except all the way up into the northeast, you know, where the states turn blue. You can't carry the gun up there because the permit in Louisiana is only good down here in the good old South. Only 10 other states do not recognize Louisiana's permits. How many of you have a concealed carry permit? Let me see a show of hands. All right, here's what a lot of people did a few years ago. They went and got a Florida permit because they were under the understanding that a Florida permit was good in so many other states. That law was repealed last year, and here's the way the law is worded now. You got to get a permit in the state where you reside. So if you carry a Louisiana driver's license, your permit's got to be good in the state of Louisiana. If you live in Texas, you got to get a Texas permit. As of last year, if you had a Florida permit, that Florida permit is no longer valid. It's not any good. You need to go back to school. But you got two options now when you go back. The sheriff can give you a parish permit that's only good in Caddo Parish. Or you can get you a statewide permit that is good in practically all other states, except for those states that are in areas where you're likely not going to travel anywhere. Massachusetts. None of you going up there, right? So if you stay out of the northeast corner of the continent, you don't need any other permits. All you need is a state permit for the state of Louisiana. Here's what I would expect you to be asking. Then how much is that going to cost me? You'll pay $100 to just get into school. You'll pay the state police $125 for the permit. So $225 and you're good for 5 years. I bet you're going to see that question again. How many years? For 5 years, you've got a permit that is good and has reciprocity in practically all other states in the United States. If you don't want to spend that much money, you just go see the sheriff in his permit section, and he'll give you one that's good only in Caddo Parish. Follow along with me. I'm down to the next to the last one. I need a permit to keep a handgun inside my home. Absolutely not. All you need to keep a handgun inside your home is a handgun. That's a legal handgun. You can hide it. You can keep it in your underwear drawer. It doesn't make any difference where you keep it. You can walk around with it in your hand. You can keep it loaded, unloaded. It's your home. Louisiana acknowledges that your home is your property, and it holds your home to a whole lot higher standard than any place out in the public. So you get to get away with a lot of stuff with a gun inside your home, because in Louisiana, we have what other states commonly refer to as the castle doctrine. Your home is your castle. You have the right to defend it. It's your home. I'm down to my last question. I got to turn it over to the judge. I'm at your number six. A handgun is always the best first option for dealing with trouble in and around my home. Me and you have read a lot of stuff in newspapers where people picked up a handgun that they chose as their first option. Here's some common questions I get from citizens when they ask me similar type questions. I had one just a few days ago. He said, "Captain, can I use my deer rifle to chase somebody out of my deer stand?" Only in Louisiana would you hear that. Well, what we would have to admit then is it's worth killing somebody over a deer stand. When it gets real cold, I get the exact same question. "Captain, can I shoot somebody to get them out of my duck blind?" That's not the most common one I get. The most common two: "Captain, can I shoot somebody for stealing my squirrel dog?" They never ask, can they kill somebody over their wife? They're more concerned about stealing somebody over a squirrel dog. Imagine that one. And I get asked frequently, "Captain, can I shoot somebody for stealing the rims, ladies, that's the wheels, off of my truck. That means a human life is worth the value of the rims or wheels on a truck. A lot of misconception over when is it legal to use a handgun, how can you use a handgun, how can you carry it, how do you get a permit, and so forth. Such is the reason that the judge has taken the bold step to try to train the public on what some of these laws read. I think he deserves a hand.
And actually, I was just going to say that Captain Sanders deserves a hand. Good work. Good job. All right, let's see what's next here. Let me kind of catch up. All right, here we go. I'm going to need the mic over here for this one. Bear with me.
You need to say this.
She's been nicknamed the Make My Day Mom, but this is not a Hollywood movie. It was for real for one widowed teen mom. The 18-year-old says she did what she had to do to protect her infant son when two intruders broke into her home on New Year's Eve, and now she is being called a hero. NBC's Tom Chuang has the story.
Home is where you're supposed to feel safe. So when 18-year-old Sarah McKinley heard danger, literally, knocking at her front door in rural Oklahoma, she grabbed her guns and called 911.
You know, I've got two guns in my hand. Is there a place you can open the door? Well, you have to do whatever you can do to protect yourself.
Recently widowed, Sarah had to protect not only herself, but also her 3-month-old son.
Is he trying to get in the door? He just keeps knocking.
With the shotgun loaded, Sarah waited to see if anyone would break in.
I waited for 21 minutes while he busted in my house. And when he did, I shot him
because
I had no choice.
The intruder was 24-year-old Justin Martin. Investigators say he was carrying a knife. Authorities also arrested and charged Justin Stewart for the New Year's Eve attempted burglary. Just 2 days before that shooting, a teenager from a small town in North Carolina had to take similar deadly action. The 14-year-old boy used a shotgun to defend himself as a man broke into his family's home, as you'll hear in these 911 recordings.
This one had a gun now.
What kind of gun? A big gun? Small gun?
He had a Berlin handgun and he came around the corner, pointed it at me. When he did, I fired 2 shots.
And just this week near San Francisco, a 90-year-old retired sheriff's deputy shot a burglar 3 times in his home. The suspect survived and faces charges of attempted murder and burglary. In each case, the people defending their homes faced no charges. 21 states have laws allowing deadly force in those situations.
You have to make a choice, you or him, and I chose my side over him.
The second suspect in the Oklahoma case is now out on bail and has made no pleas or statements. Under Oklahoma's so-called castle doctrine, he, not Sarah, is now charged with murder because the death happened during the commission of a crime.
Things will get better.
Sarah says if he or anyone tries to threaten her and the baby, she'll be armed and ready. For today, Tan Trung, NBC News.
Let's hear it for the Make My Day Mom. And it's really, you know, we stopped it right here for a reason. Because it's really about protection of this lady and this sweet angel. And that's what some thug is trying to break into the house. In the process, she has the absolute right to do what she did without even calling a 911 in my humble view. Let's move to the specific areas regarding self-defense, because this does lead into that. It's actually called justification in our law, and there's some general provisions in our criminal code. And by the way, I want to recognize our favorite sheriff that just walked in a little bit ago. Let's give him a round of applause. I just had to do that, Sheriff Prater. But there are several provisions with regard to self-defense and defense of others and when homicide is justifiable. And actually, the first one deals with just a general view overview of defense of property and persons, and that's Revised Statute 1418. 1419 is the law that we've heard so much about, which includes use of force or violence in defense, and that's really other than homicide. There's a special statute when one has to shoot somebody and that results in a death. But in any event, the use of force or violence in defense must be reasonable and apparently necessary. There is a presumption that a person lawfully inside a dwelling, place of business, or motor vehicle held a reasonable belief that the use of force or violence was necessary to prevent unlawful entry thereto, or to compel an unlawful intruder to leave the premises or motor vehicle. And it goes on to say that there's no duty to retreat, and this is all on page 2 of your handout. You do have this handout to take home and review later. There is no duty to retreat. You may stand your ground, and you may meet that intruder with force. That's what the law says, and that is in our criminal code. Now, well, of course, we would not be complete here without just a little bit of the next one. Everybody recognize this? Dirty Harry? Just had to do this too. Sorry. We talked about the Make My Day Mom. Here we go. Speech on the Second Amendment would be complete without Dirty Harry and Clint Eastwood, Smith and Wesson, as well as Marshall Dillon and the Make My Day Mom. I do want to talk about just very briefly the justifiable homicide, which is also in the criminal code. But it says, when committed in self-defense by one who reasonably believes that he's in imminent danger of losing his life or receiving great bodily harm, and that the killing is necessary to save himself from that danger. You know, the business of the Make My Day Mom is a perfect example of, I fear for my life, I fear for the life of my child. You know, that's what this is all about in terms of self-defense and justification for doing what you have to do to protect yourself, protect your home. Your home is your castle. There is sanctity in your home, and we respect that, and it is embodied in the law. Now, we have a couple of scenarios. We might want to turn the lights on for this one, and I think I might just have to call on Captain Sanders for some answers here in just a minute. If you look at your scenarios on page 3, the first one is disturbed sleep. Okay, All right, read with me as I read the scenario. It's late at night, and you're asleep in your bed. First, your voice is outside your bedroom window. Then, it sounds like people are moving around outside your home. You're afraid that they're looking for a place to break in and enter your home. You arm yourself with your pistol and slowly make your way to the kitchen in the back of the home without turning on any lights. Then, someone starts kicking on the back door as though they're trying to break in your home. You're afraid that if they enter the home, that you will be hurt if not killed. First question, would it be justifiable to shoot the person about to enter your home, Captain Sanders?
All of us were told the same thing by our daddy years ago. If you shoot them outside, you got to drag them inside the house. How many of you were told that by your daddy? Daddy was smart during that time, but that law has been repealed. You now in Louisiana have what's called the Shoot the Burglar Bill. That was a common name given to it. What changed when the Shoot the Burglar Bill was added to the justification statute is if you're inside your own home and you're fearful that somebody outside the home is trying to make entry into the home, then you're justified in shooting somebody outside the home. Now, what we'd love to see when we get there after you dial 911 is we'd love to see enough evidence that a reasonable person would feel like they're trying to make it inside the home. Now, notice I didn't say you can shoot them from inside the home while they're trying to steal your wheels outside the home. That's illegal, okay? You're inside the home. Somebody's trying to break inside the home. A reasonable person inside the home would feel like that if they made the entry into the home, you're going to be killed, if not hurt terribly, terribly bad. Then now in Louisiana, you're justified in shooting the person attempting to make entry into the home. That's called your Shoot the Burglar Bill.
All right. And what concerns should you have about using a pistol in your kitchen and bullets going out the back door, Captain Sanders? What do you think?
What most people should be afraid of is if you start shooting out the back door and you got neighbors around the house, where's the bullet going to wind up? Hopefully you'd have some concerns before you start shooting into a crowd that there may be an innocent bystander that gets hurt. So even though you're justified in, well, as a street thug would say, popping a cap, what you should be concerned about is an innocent party going to get hurt when you start discharging rounds?
You know, and a related situation would be where you look out the window, you wake up in the middle of the night, you look out the window, and there's some thug out there trying to break into your car, which is parked in your driveway. That is a little bit of a different situation because you're not in fear of imminent bodily harm. And therefore, what you should do, Captain Sanders, would be to call law enforcement, correct?
Absolutely.
As much as you would like to take matters into your own hands, I understand that, but the protocol in a situation like that where you're not in immediate fear, imminent fear of receiving bodily injury is to call law enforcement. Okay, second and last scenario, which is home from church. And if you'll read with me on page 3 of the handout. You're driving home from church. It's dark outside. As you pull into the driveway, you notice that the front door to your house is partially open. A strange truck is parked near the end of your driveway. As you pull up to your home, you see shadows moving around inside. You then retrieve your pistol from under the seat of your car and walk up to your home. As you get near the front of your home, a guy walks out of your own front door with your new television set. Let's make that up. A 60-inch high definition, and you just bought it, and it was just installed, and you've been saving up for it for months, all right? He's stealing your things. Based upon what you've learned, can you justifiably shoot the guy stealing your things? Why or why not, Captain Sanders?
Now we're looking at the direct opposite of the previous one. You're outside the home. You're coming home from prayer meeting or church. Now, you're outside the home. The bad guy was inside the home. He's of no threat to you now. He's a threat to a TV set. He's a threat to whatever he stole outside of your home. So now it's not worth engaging him with lethal force at this point. This would be a proper time to become a professional witness, dial 911, and resist the temptation to take a human life. Let's all admit it. You'd want to kill him over your new TV. But let's resist the temptation and get law enforcement involved.
All right. All right, now we are there. I promised you the big final test. If you will turn with me to the last page, and I think maybe this will be a joint effort by Captain Sanders. You know, Captain Sanders, I really like asking the questions, and I really like you answering the questions. So let's proceed, if you'll join me here. Number one, and I'm thankful that we are on time, and we'll get you out of here with a little extra information that we promised you. Number one, there's no permit needed to keep a gun in my home. True or false?
Okay.
All right. We got a smart class out there.
Yeah, these are rocket scientists.
I'm telling you, they listen carefully to everything we said. Number two, there's no permit needed to conceal a gun in my home.
True. Correct.
Correct. Number three, there's no permit needed to keep a gun in my car.
True.
There's no permit needed, number four, to conceal a gun in my car.
True.
Number five, if I carry a gun concealed away from home, I must have a permit. All right, Captain Sanders, we might need a little.
Let's read it again. There's no permit needed to, and the key word there is concealed. All right, concealed carry permit gives you the right to conceal it. So if you're going to carry it away from home and you intend on concealing it, hence is the need for a permit. Notice the way that's written. If you're going to hide it and you're going to conceal it on your person, that means your body, and you're away from home and you're outside your car, then a permit is required.
All right. Number six, all guns in Louisiana must be registered. False. Number seven, if someone is trying to break in my home and I'm afraid they will kill me, I can use deadly force to protect myself and my family. True. Number eight, if someone is stealing my lawnmower, I can use deadly force to stop them.
False.
Okay. Well, a lot of things in the law depend on the circumstances and the evidence, of course. Number nine, if someone is carjacking me, I can use deadly force to protect myself and my family in the car. True. Number 10, I can use deadly force to keep someone from stealing my car. False. Remember the distinction between your home and property and detached from your home and whether you're in that property. Those sorts of circumstances are important. Number 11, I can threaten someone with deadly force to make them get out of my deer stand or duck blind. How many Duck Dynasty fans do we have in here? All right. Number 12, I can automatically carry my pistol concealed at church once I get my permit.
Oh, all right. Slow responses. Okay. Let's discuss the law for a minute. Actually, it's relatively new, less than 2 years old. One of your legislators here added to the law as it existed for concealed carry permits, all because there were so many church shootings going on. I taught a class for one of your local churches here. Average take on a Sunday was $150,000 cash. That's a lot of tithers, isn't it? Couldn't have been a Baptist church. They were scared to death. They were scared to death somebody was going to rob the church. So what they wanted to develop was a church security team. That's totally legal. But the way the law is worded today is it's totally legal to get a concealed carry permit, and it's totally legal to carry concealed in church. But the church has to vote on it, the pastor has to know about it, and they are required to go through training by the church. And it's 16 hours for initial training and ongoing annual training thereafter. So what we have to tell people is in the concealed carry class, just because you got a permit don't mean you can pack heat in church. All the church members had to vote on it, and that's so you don't get in a shootout in church with nobody knowing who the bad guys are and the good guys are.
All right. Number 13, once I get my permit, I can carry my pistol concealed to bars. False. False. Any discussion necessary, Captain, on that one?
Current bill on the floor hadn't become law yet, but here's what the bill is going to read that you're going to hear about. Same legislator that got the law changed to packing heat in church, he's wanting to get it changed so that if you got a restaurant like one of those that's got a bar on one side and restaurant on the other side, so that in that type bar, not just a plain old country honky-tonk bar, I'm from the country. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? If it's 100% bar when you walk inside the door, that is completely illegal. Current bill on the floor, though, is say it's restaurant on one side, bar on the other, like Chili's. A person could go into the bar side of that restaurant with gun concealed. It's just a bill. Remember from grade school, a bill is just a bill. It has not become law yet. It's still up for debate. So don't everybody go get a permit and start packing heat in bars yet. That's not legal yet.
And so we need to stay tuned. The legislature is meeting now to deal with that issue along with about 1,000 other issues right now in Baton Rouge. All right, number 14, guns are great defensive tools, but I must be aware of collateral damage. True. Number 15, to be justified in using deadly force, the threat must be imminent. True. Number 16, a person running away from me would not be an imminent threat to me. True. Number 17, it's illegal for me to shoot a person outside my home simply stealing items from my yard. True. Number 18, it's illegal for me to shoot a person for stealing my best hunting dog. All right. I think we covered that, but we need to reiterate because this comes up often. You know, these hunting dogs are tremendous, and sometimes they cost, you know, a couple of $1,000s, you know, in terms of the purchasing the dog and the training and all the work that goes into it. And we're not talking about wives. We've already covered that. But anyway, number 18 is true. It is illegal. Number 19, it is legal for me to kill someone that is trying to break in my home and hurt my family. True. Number 20, if I live in Louisiana, my concealed carry permit must be issued in Louisiana. True. And Captain Sanders, any comment on that? Number 20.
Brand new change to the law. If you live in Louisiana, Florida permits are now no longer valid. If you live in Louisiana, you got a little Louisiana permit. It does eventually expire. You got to go back through the class. So if you live just across the line in Texas, you got to go through the class in Texas, then get a Texas permit. But it's no big deal because Texas permits are good in Louisiana. Louisiana permits are good in Texas and vice versa.
Number 21, a concealed carry permit issued in Louisiana is valid in many other states. We just dealt with that. True. Number 22, a concealed carry permit is only valid for 2 years. All right. We recall Captain Sanders reminding us that it's good for 5. Number 23, if I have a history of drug abuse, alcohol abuse, or mental illness, I can't get a concealed carry permit. True. Absolutely true. Number 24, a background check will be performed before I can obtain my concealed carry permit. True.
Her question was, since you couldn't hear over there because she talks soft, she's afraid of guns. She's devised her own method of self-protection, and she's pushing the panic button on her remote to her car, so it's making alarms and bells and whistles go off on your car. That is a fantastic method. However, the other side of me would say, please let us teach you how to use a gun. All you need to do is overcome that fear of carrying a gun, then get the proper permits for carrying a gun, unless you're just going to keep it inside your car. Most people, and I train a ton of people every year, most people like you, the only reason they're afraid of carrying a gun is they've never had to train in to carry a gun. I wish you'd come see me, and I wish you would let us train. Now, if you've got a mean husband, he's going to fight that tooth and nail. You come see us, then we'll turn right around. We'll get the sheriff to issue you a permit. It's practically nothing, okay? You'll be a very firm believer in handguns used properly with the proper training. You just put it away, and now you'll be a legal trained consumer, and that's the deadliest kind there is.
We want to make sure that we cover all of your rights. It's such an honor to live in this country with all of the individual rights that we have. One of those rights is in the Second Amendment. First Amendment has to do with religion, freedom of expression, freedom of speech. We have other rights in this country that make living in this country such an absolute honor. We wanted to cover the Second Amendment today and talk about permits and protection and how far you can go. If you have any other questions, we'll be glad to try to address those. I do want to applaud Captain Sanders. This is really his outline. All right. And we are absolutely blessed in this parish to have the Caddo Sheriff's Office. It is an extremely well-run operation led by Sheriff Steve Prater, as I said, my favorite sheriff. and his team of deputies are excellent, absolutely first class. So let's give them a round of applause. They can be right outside the door. They can be about to kick in the door. You must fear for your life and that of your family, and that is really the key to it. Now, if they're just simply out there jimmying the car in the driveway, that's a different situation. Call law enforcement. But in the event they're at your door and they're about to come in, you have the absolute right to protect yourself and your family. Absolutely. Absolutely. You don't have to wait for them to come in and hurt you, Tom. You can take care of defending yourself and your family. Yes, ma'am. And so in terms of an intruder on the deck of your house, you know, again it boils down to your fear for your own safety and the threat of imminent, immediate bodily harm to you. We need to be careful. We need to be careful, but we also need to know what our rights are in terms of defending ourselves. Yes, sir. Oh, it gets a little bit gnarly, doesn't it? It gets a little bit gnarly. Let me suggest this, and Captain Sanders may need to help me out here a little bit. You know, let me reiterate. My viewpoint is this. If someone is out there trying to steal your boat, my suggestion is call law enforcement immediately and get them out there. If you choose to go out there, there's risk involved in that, because they may be armed and it may be a showdown, and we're also for safety of everybody here, safety of the innocent person. So I would proceed very carefully under that scenario. Again, calling law enforcement is the right answer, the answer that I feel most comfortable with. Any comments on that, Captain Sanders? All right. Thank you very much. All right, I told you we would get you out of here on time. I notice everybody has finished eating, and let me just say it's such a pleasure to be here. This is my 23rd year on the bench, and I was so blessed and fortunate to be elected in 1990. The 23 years have gone by in a flash, absolute flash. It is an honor to get to do what I do every day. I look forward to getting to work, you know, and I have to. It's a fight against the clock sometimes to get everything done before I go home. I love my wife. We've been married 30 years, but I try to get everything done I can get done before I get home at 6 o'clock or so, and sometimes I have to take work home. But it is an honor to get to do what I do every day, thanks to the grace of God and thanks to you. And I appreciate your attention today.